I don't need that. I have this, which should be working. Good evening, everyone. It is working. You know, I always have to have a prop of some kind. Amen. Welcome, everyone, to Serenity Church. Those of you who are here in person, especially those of you who are here in person, and those who are watching online, which I have people who have assured me from all over the country that they are going to be watching. It's an honor and a privilege to have you worshiping with us tonight. Hold up your hand if you need a Bible, a bulletin, or a pen. A Bible, a bulletin, or a pen. We do have some fill-in-the-blanks tonight. And not all of them are going to be on the screen. You're going to have to listen. I know that Catherine is up for that. She listens. But some of the rest of you might think that's just too much trouble. That's okay. You don't have to participate. We won't have a test afterwards. Although that would be kind of cool if everyone had to put their name on the bulletin and pass it in for me to check. I've always wanted to do that. All right. What did Jesus say about abuse of power? Did Jesus say anything about abuse of power? There we go. Okay. The picture on the slide is a trail that I walk on every day, almost every day, usually twice a day to get my 10,000 steps in because this, you know, I'm not addicted. I have a boss that requires it of me. It's very disappointed. This is a dog walking trail, so I see people walking their dogs all the time. But every once in a while, I see a large dog that is not on a leash and does not have a person with them. And so that's why I carry this. Now, when I very first started walking 3 years ago, I had to use this because I could barely walk. And so those 10,000 steps a day are paying off, where I don't need it to walk anymore, but I need it because of the big dogs. The loose dog in the picture, which is right under the S in the word abuse, did not like me being on his path, and he was running toward me with his head down, and he was growling. Well, that's a good story, Aunt Laurie, but that doesn't sound like a Bible lesson. We'll see about that. Here at Serenity Church, 2023 is designated as the year of what did Jesus say? Jesus said a lot. It has taken me decades to rightly understand some of the things he said. As I study what Jesus said, I am comforted, blessed, inspired, and sometimes convicted. Over the last couple of months, I've been meditating on and studying what Jesus said about abuse of power. Look at Mark 10, starting at verse 42, Jesus speaking. You know that among the nations of the world, the great ones lord it over the little people and act like tyrants, but that is not the way it will be among you. That's your first fill in the blank. That is not the way it will be among you. Whoever would be great among you must serve and minister. Now that is the voice version. The message version, which Uncle Bill and I call the yo homie version. Yeah. When it's like very casual, Americanized. When people get a little power, how quickly it goes to their heads. It's not going to be that way with you. Become a servant. So there are different kinds of power at work on earth. There is positional power that comes from a system where the power is ranked or tiered. There's a hierarchy. And this hierarchy is formed by appointment or election or maybe birthright, age, gender, etc. The person at the top of the system has the most power. So in a government, that would be the mayor, the president, the queen, you know, the top of the government. In a family, that's usually the parents, whoever's the oldest. In a business, it might be the owner or the CEO. In a prison, it would be the warden. On a bus, it would be the bus driver. So big systems, little systems, whoever's in charge, there's a hierarchy. Wherever there is power, there is a potential for abuse of power. And abuse is your second fill-in-the-blank word. So wherever there is power, there is a potential for tyrants. Has anyone ever had a tyrant at a boss where you work? Lots of you. Me too. I work for a company now that does not allow tyrannical abuse of employees, but it has not always been that way, even at the company where I work now, which is going on 25 years. So back in the olden days, 25 years ago, it wasn't quite that clear cut. And I've been on the workforce for 50 years. There have been times when I have white-knuckled it through my work days with, yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, right away, sir. And the way I stayed sane was with my mantra of one day's work for one day's pay. I have gotten myself through some pretty abusive situations with tyrannical bosses by one day's work for one day's pay, because the option of quitting those particular jobs were not there. That would expose myself and my family to starvation. So, in some workplaces, there's no such thing as reporting the boss for harassment or abuse, especially in the olden days. I lost my place. Y'all know what that means. Working and living under tyranny is crushing. The victims tend to be less motivated and less productive, and they waste a lot of time daydreaming about revenge or escape. Another position of power is religious power. Pastors, priests, rabbis, deacons, Sunday school teachers, all sorts of religious leaders. Me standing up here, wielding the microphone, gives me a certain power. This power comes with responsibility, and it is a sacred trust. May I never abuse that power. Jesus said that is an abusable power, though. He said in the Sermon on the Mount, recorded in Matthew 7, this is from the Yo-Homie version, be wary of false preachers who smile a lot, dripping with practiced sincerity. Chances are they're out to rip you off in some way or another. Don't be impressed with charisma. Well, nobody has to worry about that around here, do they? Look for character. Here's your next fill in the blank. A genuine leader will never exploit your emotions or your pocketbook. Exploit is your word. So Jesus warned us about abuse of power. He also showed us what may happen if we call out abuse of power. Jesus was qualified to call out the abuse of power practiced by the religious leaders of his day. As recorded in Mark 11, starting with verse 15, upon reaching the temple that morning, Jesus dealt with those who were selling animals for sacrifices and drove them out of the area. He turned over the tables of those who exchanged money for the temple pilgrims and the seats of those selling birds. And he physically prevented anyone from carrying anything through the temple. Jesus taught them, "Didn't the prophets write, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all the people'?" That's a fill in the blank, "for all the people. But you have made it into a hiding place for thieves." The chief priests and scribes heard these words and knew that Jesus was referring to them, so they plotted his destruction. The religious leaders in Jesus' day abused their power by profiting from the merchants who exploited the people's worship. And all of this activity was blocking the Gentiles from coming into where they were segregated to in the temple. So the first thing Jesus said is, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the people." It wasn't just that they were ripping off the people who were buying things to worship with. It was that they were blocking the Gentiles from their area. The religious leaders did not like being called out, but that is despicable behavior. Jesus said, "That is not the way it will be among you." God's objection to the abuse of power is a theme that runs through the entire Bible. The Old Testament prophets called out God's people for abuse of power for centuries. In Amos 2, starting at verse 6, "Because of the three great sins of Israel," make that four, "I'm not putting up with them any longer. They buy and sell upstanding people. People for them are only things." That's your fill in the blank word. "Objects, ways of making money. They'd sell a poor man for a pair of shoes. They'd sell their own grandmother. They grind the penniless into the dirt and shove the luckless into the ditch." So, exploitation, objectification, misuse, abuse. That is not the way it will be among you. In Jeremiah 7, God tells his people, "If you genuinely change your ways and stop what you are doing, if you deal with each other fairly, if you don't oppress foreigners, orphans, and widows," those were the most vulnerable, "then you will live forever in this land." Oppression of the vulnerable is abuse of power. In Isaiah 58, I love Isaiah 58, God tells his people what true religious observance looks like. "If you remove the yoke of oppression from the downtrodden, stop accusing others, do away with mean and inflammatory speech, if you make sure that the hungry and oppressed have what they need, then your light will shine in the darkness, and even your bleakest moments will be bright as clear day." So our role as followers of Jesus is to relieve the abuse of power when we can, not add to the abuse. So there's another kind of abuse. That's physical strength and size. Has anyone ever been bullied by someone bigger or stronger? Or threatened by someone with a bigger or better weapon? Have you been run off the road by a bigger or faster vehicle? What did Jesus say about abuse of this kind of power? In Matthew 26, starting with verse 51, one of the men with Jesus grabbed his sword and swung toward the high priest's slave, slicing off his ear. Jesus said, put your sword back. People who live by the sword die by the sword. And then in Matthew 18:5, Jesus said, whoever welcomes a little child welcomes me. Do not lead astray one of these little ones. If you do, it would be better for you to be dragged down with a millstone and drowned in the sea. So Jesus had strong warnings for those who use power to mistreat those who are smaller or weaker. And he said, that is not the way it will be among you. We are called to be good stewards of the power we have. Aunt Laurie, that's fine with people with power, like people like Logan and, you know, Logan W. But I don't have any power. I don't have any power. I'm as humble and powerless as a baby bird in a nest. Photograph used without permission. Let's see if we can identify some of the power we all have in the CODA Blue Book. Yes, we're going there.
Yeah.
I've been bringing these messages for 3 years now, more than, and I've never brought this up here with me yet, but I'm starting. I know. People are starting to get nervous. In any kind of human relationship, there is power and vulnerability. This works beautifully when there is love, respect, and equality. But if the relationship is lopsided, if one person cares more than the other person, the person who cares the most is vulnerable, and the person who cares the least has more power. If you don't understand that. If I don't care how my actions might hurt you, like if I just flat don't care, I have a lot of options that you don't have if you do care, because you're restrained by your caring. And I have no restraint. So that's the power position in a relationship. And I may abuse that power. The word power means the ability to control or influence others. Taking charge overtly by bullying or covertly by manipulation. Some of the types of power in human relationships are coercive power. That's power to control by raising the anxiety in the victim. Rewarding power. Power to control resources. And expert power. That's the power of knowledge, information, and expertise. So here are some examples of abuses of power that could happen in human relationships, coming from page 121 of the CODA book. Coercive power. Talking people into doing things they don't want to do by raising their anxiety with shaming, put downs, mocking, blaming, name calling, teasing, shouting, insinuations, raging, or threats. And I know no one in this room does any of those. But we can also raise other people's anxiety with pouting or cajoling until they surrender. All of these things are coercive abuses of power. We all know what pouting is, right? I've used that one. Tried to use it on Uncle Bill, but he doesn't fall for it. But do you know what cajoling is? I love that word. To cajole is to persuade someone to do something by sustained coaxing or flattery. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. If I don't respect your yes or your no, and I use nagging, that's what cajoling is pretty much nagging. I use nagging tactics to raise your anxiety to get you to change your mind, because that'll stop my nagging. That's an abuse of power. So, I won't ask for a show of hands on that one. Rewarding power. Rewarding power is controlling access to resources, maybe sabotaging another's ability to earn or to keep their own finances, using resources as punishment by withholding or wasting them, making promises of rewards but never keeping them. And that could be using anything of value. Children, has anyone ever had someone use their children against them? That's the hand. That's at least one of the hands I thought would go up. Children, pets, freedom, reputation. I'll ruin your reputation. To force compliance. These are abuses of power. Jesus said to his followers, that is not the way it will be among you. Maybe none of us who follow Jesus have ever done any of those things. But what about the power of information and knowledge? Who you see here, what you hear here, if when you leave here, let it stay here. Nothing said in these discussions will leave this room in any form. Gossip has no place among us. We will not share. We will share nothing said in this room with anybody outside this group. So a despicable abuse of power is gossip. This is an abuse of informational power. Gossip is your fill-in-the-blank word. Other abuses of power of information are twisting the words of others and then accusing them of having evil motives, or not giving others all the information they need by me pretending to be something I'm not, or by exaggerating, distorting, withholding facts, hurrying others to make decisions before they can think it through. All of these are the abuse of the power of information. What did Jesus say? That is not the way it is to be among you. Jesus took action against the abuse of power regarding the worshipers in the temple. Clearing the extortionists out of the temple courtyard was a symbol of the spiritual mission Jesus was here for. He said in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he designated me to be his representative to the poor, to preach the good news to them. He sent me to tell those who are held captive that they can now be set free, and to tell the blind that they can now see. He sent me to liberate those held down by oppression. Amen. Oppression is a fill-in-the-blank word. We all have power. There might not be too many CEOs or presidents or crowned queens. I see one. Crowned queens in this crowd. But we all have power and the potential to abuse it. What did Jesus say? I'm going to let y'all finish this sentence this time. That is not... That was a little bit haphazard. Okay. What did Jesus say? That is not. That is right. That is not the way it will be among you. The Apostle Paul put it this way, using Jesus as our example. Philippians 2:6. Jesus did not regard his equality with God as something he ought to exploit. And he showed that in when he washed the disciples' feet. We're not establishing a hierarchy of ruling. We get down on our knees. No matter what kind of power we have, great or small, we must not use it to exploit, dehumanize, humiliate, shame, cut down, demean, degrade, extort, coerce, pressure, blackmail, bully, cajole, oppress, tyrannize, manipulate, or otherwise dominate others to get our way. I follow Jesus by using the power I have to be a good steward of my life and to liberate those held down by oppression. My power is not for superiority, not for revenge, not for control. It is for liberation. But what if I'm the one who needs liberation? I believe it's good stewardship to use whatever power I have when I'm challenged by an oppressor. Sometimes I demonstrate the greatest power on earth by turning the other cheek. When I turn the other cheek, motivated by love, not motivated by fear or weakness, but motivated by love, I have demonstrated an undefeatable force. Talk about power. Because love never fails. And that's a fill in the blank. Well, what is love? Love is wanting the other person to always have the best. I started this message tonight with a story about a large, angry dog who wanted to oppress me to shreds. So, what did I do? The first thing I did was pray, a very quick prayer. Then I took a picture so that if he did rip me to shreds, there would be photographic evidence that the police could use to track down the perpetrator. And then I made myself as big as possible. And it's so funny because Wednesday night in Overcomers, the topic was inadequacy. And it was shared by one of the people that when you feel inadequate, what a good thing to do is to get in hero pose. And I happened to have my stick, so I was like this. But she said, now if your boss has called you into the office and you feel inadequate, you probably shouldn't go in his office like this. But on the way, go in the bathroom, get in front of the mirror, do hero pose, and you're Superman. And that actually kind of reduces some endorphins and some courage stuff. So it works. And that was so funny that that's the only time I've heard that shared in Overcomers. And then I'm going to talk about it tonight. So I put my phone in my pocket and went like this. And he was about where Will is. And I exposed it's just for ice. This is for if you're hiking on ice. But I took that off and dropped it. And so I was like this. I said no, very loud. And he stopped, and my bluff worked. Oh, he would have gotten my ice pick wherever I could, not sure what I could do with it, but he would have gotten my ice pick. I'm not suggesting, I might be a target, but thanks to CODA recovery, I'm not an easy target. Amen. And I'm not suggesting that this is the perfect formula for dealing with all abusers of power. This is how I dealt with that particular dog on that particular day because I did not have the option of running away. And for those of you who saw me dancing last night, you know that I do not have like a lot of athletic prowess. So running away was not an option. But when I'm dealing with people, I might not need a literal stick. I might, but I probably won't. Sometimes good stewardship turns the other cheek to the oppressor. Sometimes good stewardship runs away to safety. Sometimes good stewardship says no. Sometimes love says no, this has to stop. And if you would like to learn more about navigating relationships with people, we have a meeting for that. There are some CODAs in the room tonight. I'm going to make a request of them, but I do not want them to be cajoled into it. Do I have any CODAs here who will enthusiastically break their anonymity and raise their hand? For information on CODA meetings. Okay. The only requirement for membership is a desire for healthy, loving relationships. Amen. So does that exclude anyone sitting in this room?
No.
The only requirement is a desire for healthy, loving relationships. Maybe tonight, it did get real quiet there for a little bit. You realize that abuse of power is a character defect you have unintentionally used in relationships. What did Jesus say? That is not the way it will be among you. That's your last fill in the blank. We have some steps to overcome that. Name that character defect. Be willing and ready for God to remove it. Then practice a different way. And I will close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you remove from us every single defect of character which stands in the way of service to you and our fellow humans. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.